Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest tonight is an historian and leading anti-racist scholar. He's just written two new books, How to Raise an Anti-Racist and Goodnight Racism. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Ibram X. Kendi. First time we've seen each other in person, because the last time we talked was at the height of COVID, and it was almost 2 years ago this week, June 25th, 2020, and we were talking about how to be an anti-racist at the time, your book at the time, and also about the ongoing protests in the street following the death of George Floyd. So I want to get into how you see the United States and how you see progress 2 years later. But first, I want to talk about your new books. Here we go. This is a book for an adult called How to Raise an Anti-Racist, and a book for children called Goodnight Racism. Now, the nice thing is that the audio book of the children's book here is actually read by your daughter. Imani. What's that like? What's that like to, listen to your daughter reading your work?
I mean, it was just unspeakable. I mean, it was incredible, I think, especially because she had been actually doing speech therapy.
Oh, really?
And so to see her and to see her confidence and see how proud of herself that she was, I mean, it was just, I mean, it was nothing like it. Now, it almost didn't happen because her grandparents negotiated hard for her.
And, oh, she has representation.
Oh, you know, she definitely has representation.
Anything in her rider, like no red M&Ms or something like that?
So I literally have to put a gift under her pillow, like every night now.
For how long?
She like was like eternity, but you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to stop it.
Depends on how long it stays on the bestseller list.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Well, okay, remind us, what is the difference between anti-racism as opposed to being just not racist?
Well, to be anti-racist is to recognize the racial groups as equals, is to challenge policies that are leading to inequity and injustice, and to really seek to deconstruct racism and create equity and justice for all.
So it's active as opposed to a passive response.
Exactly. Exactly.
4th of July is coming up, and we just celebrated Juneteenth, and I love my country, but I think the only way to really love your country or a person is to see them, sorry, it for who it is, yes. To look them in the face. You know, warts and all the beauty of that country and all the failings of that country at the same time. And you say it's vital that we teach the truth to our children, that we teach our kids about racism. Why do you think that's so essential? And at what age are you talking?
So it's never too early to start teaching our kids about race and racism. Indeed, one of the reasons why racist ideas are so dangerous is because they're so simple. Like, dark is bad, white is good. And that's probably why, by 3 years old, our kids can have an adult-like concept of race, according to scholars. They're already attaching skin color to who's good and who's bad. And so just like when we think about kindness, like we start early trying to teach our kids to be kind, so too should we start early teaching our kids to be anti-racist.
Well, one of the things you write about is That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. But even you say that you were reluctant to talk to your daughter about racism. What changed for you? What made you change your mind other than, you know, all the racism?
First, research. I mean, you know, I think the more that I researched this topic, the more that I realized that the very people who are the most vulnerable to racism are the very people who are the least likely to engage about it, our children. And so it's actually protective to engage them. It's protective for a child to learn there's nothing wrong with them because of the color of their skin, or there's nothing special about them because of the color of their skin. It's protective when our kids are crossing the streets of the world that we teach them to look both ways, to identify things that can hit them and harm them. And certainly these messages can hit them and harm them.
One of the arguments you hear in opposition to talking to young children or to teaching elementary level school children about racism or the history of racism in America, the argument goes something along the lines of, well, you're going to make white kids feel bad about being white. What is your response to that?
Well, I would say those people are most concerned about our teaching of slavery. So let's just talk about slavery.
Sure.
If we teach white kids about slavery, we're going to teach them that there were white people who enslaved people and there were black people who were enslaved. And we're also going to teach them that there were white people and black people who challenged and fought against slavery. And so my question back to them would be, why can't we allow white children to identify with white abolitionists? And you know, and also it demonstrates to me that these folks recognize that kids are not colorblind and that how we shape the curriculum impacts our children. So then why aren't they concerned about how black kids feel when they're not represented in the curriculum?
I want to talk about another one of your books, which is Anti-Racist Baby, okay? And Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in today as the first black female Supreme Court justice. And your name came up earlier this year in the confirmation hearings for Justice Jackson, who was sworn in today. This is what happened. Ted Cruz talked to her about a curriculum of a school that she was on the board of that included in their library and some of their teachings some of your books, one of which being Anti-Racist Baby. What was it like seeing your work being used that way, sort of misused as a cudgel for political purposes in a Supreme Court confirmation hearing?
I think it was very difficult for me at first because I just didn't know what impact it would have on her actual confirmation. So the fact that
maybe you wouldn't want to do anything that could possibly hurt the chance.
Exactly, right? I mean, so the fact that that Justice Jackson was, of course, sworn in today, you know, is certainly, I'm just excited about it as everyone else, probably even more excited about because of what happened. But what I also thought about is that, like, literally, I suspect that Senator Cruz didn't read How to Be an Anti-Racist. It's a couple hundred pages.
I'm guessing holding this up is not one of the things you do to be an anti-racist.
No. And I would just hope, okay, if you're not gonna read the adult book, can you at least read the children's book before you attack it?
When we spoke 2 years ago, you told me, quote, America has stage 4 metastatic racism, but I still believe that the American people can fight against the odds and still heal itself. Have you seen any progress since then? And what are you paying attention to particularly going forward?
So in certain ways, there are people, particularly at the local level, at the state level, who are building anti-racist organizations, who are pushing for equitable policies. They're largely behind the scenes of history. But on the other hand, you know, in the mainstream of history, you can make a case that things have even gotten worse. Because at least in 2020, we were discussing things like ensuring that everyone can vote easily. At least we were discussing imagining an America where nobody was killed by the police. But now, we're not even talking about that, you know, at a national level. But behind the scenes, right, in local areas, people are organizing and people are fighting and people are striving to create an equitable and just world. And so that's what I'm looking for. And I'm constantly looking for, are we changing policy? Who's getting into positions of power? And are these policies and powerful people committed to equity and justice?
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
His books, How to Raise an Anti-Racist and Goodnight Racism, are on sale now.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. We'll be dropping classic bits and celebrity interviews 7 days a week while the show goes on hiatus for summer break. The Late Show will be back on July 18th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.